High noon here on Jones and Keefe.
Great montage by Nick.
Nicely done, Nick. Gets you in the spirit.
Worth playing for the rest of the week, I think, leading into Drake May.
A lot of moments. A lot of moments over the last month
as
it relates to Brissett and May.
It is, and I think it's worth playing leading into Drake May's first start on Sunday against the Houston Texans. We heard from Jerod Mayo earlier today here on WEEI. Drake May just wrapped up speaking. We'll see if he had anything noteworthy. Talking with the media, but he is getting the start. Confirmed by the team today. Reported yesterday. We're obviously on board with it. If you saw the announcement earlier today, or the beginning of the show, rather, not the announcement. Keefe and I, very excited. That's on Instagram and Twitter, at
sure
Jones
is.
And Keefe. We needed a shop vac in here to clean up.
Yeah, we got that taken care of. As new.
The full party.
Legitimately gone.
Legitimately, Mark Mingles had to come down with the shop vac
to
clean up the mess in here. But I think we've gotten on board with it. It's completely clean.
Imagine they start winning a couple games, what it's going to look like in here.
We're gonna need the shop vac for other reasons.
Right.
You guys need the shop vac again? What is it? More confetti?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Don't ask. We just need that. Bring that shop
with
vac
discretion.
Back.
We need the shop vac.
Shop vac's out, wet and dry.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's right.
Yeah, you got a carpet cleaner while you're down there?
Uh-huh.
It's hour three. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We all think, or we each think, Keefe, this is the right call. I don't think it was the plan. I think it's too late. I would have done it certainly last week against Miami. We both would have done it week one. Why do you think they're doing it now?
I think enough was enough for Jerod Mayo, and maybe higher than that as well. But I think specifically with Mayo, there were signs all along that he wanted Drake May. He said he was better. He said it was a competition, and he said he outperformed him. Therefore, if he's sticking by his own words, he would give the guy at any position who was better the job. He also He also referenced a couple of times, and I'm not even saying he shouldn't reference this, but a couple of times he mentioned during preseason how he was the rookie of the year. He himself was defensive rookie of the year. So I think he believes in the young guys can go out there and play well.
You brought this up. This is a good observation.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I was rookie of the year. So rookies can play,
rookies
obviously.
Rookies can play and they can play well.
Yeah.
So I think he's always been pro Drake May. And he even referenced it too during this press conference today. Week one, we won. Week two was close.
And then you know what happened from there, he said.
Yes. And we all know what happened from there.
Yeah,
so he already wanted a quarterback change. But you're 1-1. And then Seattle, maybe they looked at it this way too. Like Seattle ended up going 3-0 before they've kind of dropped back a little bit. But you're like, all right, you lost that overtime game to what looks like a pretty good team. And then the Jets and Niners, which at the beginning of the season looked like much tougher games than they ended up being, or the teams are right now. And you got obliterated by both of them. Neither have a winning record, right? Aren't they both 2-3?
No, Jets are 2-3, Niners are 2-3. Yep.
And, one of their wins is against you.
They're both on the shooketh tier.
And then Miami, I mean, that was a eye-opening performance by the entire team, but the quarterback, you could say weeks one and two, good enough. The last couple of weeks, not good enough. And you just got Drake May sitting there, hopefully getting better in practice, but they need to make a change. And maybe against a Houston defense isn't ideal, but also Mayo said there's no real ideal time to just like drop a rookie in there. And so I think Mayo, and he had the ammunition. Like I think he could go to Wolf and he could go to Van Pelt and be like, all right, this was your guy's plan, but like there's no way you thought it was going to be this bad. And there's no way Van Pelt thought that Brissett was going to play like this through 5 weeks.
No.
Even he probably had to give in at some degree.
Yeah, so again, there's a lot of things that speak to this not being their plan. Like Houston is not an ideal landing spot. We talked about their defense, how quarterbacks have struggled, their high pressure rate, they're a Super Bowl contender, all those reasons, okay? How the news leaked out, to me, tells you it wasn't their plan. If they had their ducks in a row and it was their plan, they would have told the team on Monday. And they would, if it was, this was always the plan to start in week six, the team would have known. It wouldn't have leaked out through Schefter and Rappaport. I think Mayo's wanted to do it all along. I think Van Pelt and Wolf didn't want to. Maybe the Crafts in the meantime were convinced of that. But now Mayo is, I guess, getting his way. I don't think it's his call. I don't think it's his decision to make this move. If it were up to Mayo, Drake May would have started week one. So this goes higher than that. This goes to the Crafts. There were empty seats at Gillette Stadium. Fans were booing over and over again, the ones that were there. Plus, and I didn't think of this yesterday, but I've heard others say it, and it's a good point. They were pissed last year about how they were perceived in Germany, how they looked in Germany, how bad that was. That was an embarrassment for the Crafts. That was an important game.
Right.
This is another international game. So you get Drake May in there this week, so he's ready to go really next week for an island standalone showcase international game in front of the world. because we don't want to be embarrassed in front of the world in a winnable game against Jacksonville like we were embarrassed last year. I think that's why they're doing it now. But spare me this idea that it was the plan.
No, there wasn't.
No one believes this was your plan. I'm happy they're finally doing it.
Yeah, right.
I think it's 6 weeks too late, 5 weeks too late. But don't tell me this is the plan. No one believes that.
It's definitely not the plan. And I think they found a way to make almost everybody kind of annoyed, at least. Right? Now, you and I are happy. Like, I don't want to freak out or complain too much because we finally got what we wanted. We wanted to see the number three pick play. And we did not want to see Jacoby Brissett play anymore. But he should have started against Miami. And then you have the people that think he's going to get hurt or you're going to break the quarterback. You have all those people. They don't want him this week. They don't want him next week. They don't want him ever. Like, they're so afraid to see him play that they want him. They want to wait till the team is 100% all pros all around him before he takes the field. So you kind of made everybody annoyed, at least. I'm sure the people that wanted to protect Drake, the don't break Drake people,
Ken,
have got to be up in arms about this.
Yeah.
They got to hate this decision. There might be a revolt. But everybody else, it's like, I would have preferred him week one. I would have preferred him week five. But you know what? Week six, beggars can't be choosers. I'm all in.
And they're all frauds anyway, because last week the Greg Hill Show did a poll. It was 50-50. Should Drake May start against Miami? It was 50-50. Now let me get the updated odds.
Now it's the Patriots taking a swing a little bit.
The Patriots make the move, and here are the results of the same question, different poll. 63% say yes, they agree with the decision to start Drake May. So, like, you pick up an extra 12% 1 week later.
So I'm surprised because if Bill Belichick was still the head coach of this team and he wasn't playing Drake May, I could understand why closer to 50% of the audience would say, all right.
Yeah, it's a trust in Bill.
Bill knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it's an in Bill we trust.
You don't have that.
No.
You have all guys doing their jobs for the first time, and people are still like, yeah, they know what they're doing. Yeah. Like, are you sure about that?
I am not sure about that. So whose call do you think it was? Is it the right call? We'll get into that. I will also get into the Bruins. No comment from Team Corpy today. Interesting. Last 24 hours on the goalie market. Linus Ullmark gets a new deal. Shesterkin turns down a big deal. Jeremy Swayman, obviously the answer in net for the Bruins. So an interesting last 24 hours. Oh, and they got bombarded by the Panthers last night. But let's mix in some phone calls before we do that. Charlie's in Boston. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, guys. Great show so far. But, no change. I think their plan was always to play Drake 100% of bottom out.
I'm sorry. Charlie, you broke up there for a second. Their plan was always to what?
Oh, to play May when they bottomed out.
Got it.
Yeah, so but, like, my big fear here is, like, we just got to be patient as a fan base now because, like, Drake May's in. We can't – like, what else are we going to do? Like, it can't be 4 weeks from now. We still stink, and people can't be, like, calling for Joe Milton. Like, we got to have
patience. Okay, so I'll be patient in that regard, but I'm not going to be patient. And if he plays poorly, we're gonna rip his play on Monday. Like, at least I will.
Yeah, but what I won't do, what I can promise you I won't do is call for Joe Milton or call for Brissett back.
Me either.
If May sucks, we can question it and be like, oh, that's not good. You can start to compare him to Daniels and Knicks.
May starts for the rest of the year. I won't call for those things either.
I will never, ever, ever call for Drake May this season to not be the quarterback.
Yeah.
It could be four horrible games in a row worse than Brissett.
Right.
And I will keep playing him.
We'll come in every Monday and say he's playing horribly.
But play him.
But play him, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that to me, when he said be patient, I thought he was saying – be patient in terms of like real time criticism.
There'll be some Joe Milton calls.
Keith, there were Joe Milton calls today.
I know that.
There were Joe Milton calls today.
Yeah.
On Drake May Day of all days.
He's not the backup, by the way, if anybody cares about that. Brissett is still like, it's not like he's not. Sometimes when teams get rid of a starter, I feel like they banish him. Like they get rid of him altogether. Was Garoppolo one of those guys? He didn't start, then he was like third string, and then they like got rid of him, right?
The Raiders just got him out of there.
But that's not the case, and I think that also says they don't want to see Joe Milton. Because May could get hurt, and then they got to at least put a quarterback that can take snaps.
Well, and that's a quarterback who you think might be a problem. I don't think Brissett's going to be a problem in the room.
Oh, no.
Brissett got 5 more weeks than he deserved. Okay?
Yeah.
So, Brissett got $8 million. Maybe he was embarrassed a little bit to get benched, but that's why you got $8 million. This is why you're here. You got 5 more weeks than you deserved. Okay? So, you weren't wronged. This wasn't unfair. You got way more time than you deserve to. And so I don't think he's going to be a problem in the room. I think he's aware of that. 617-779-7937. We'll get to more of your feedback here coming up. We do have some thoughts, though, on the Bruins. Ugly, ugly night last night. How bad is it? How do we feel about the Swayman contract in retrospect based on some of the events in the last 24 hours? And did the Bruins do enough to get their retribution from Sam Bennett and the Panthers? All of that right after Trending with Billy Lane.
Woof.
That's all I have to say about that. That was
no. We're gonna talk more about it. Your guy.
No. I'm out. That's all I have to say about it.
That was brutal.
Woo.
I mean,
my guy Corpy.
Yeah, that was intense.
It was not good.
It was scoreless for like five or 6 minutes.
More than Corpy. That was core poop. Is what that was. That was not great.
Corpusaw blows. That guy was a mess. Now, it wasn't just his fault. You'll be like, come on, you can't just play the goalie. The whole team was bad.
I mean, 29 saves, that's pretty good.
29 big ones.
29 big ones.
What happened the other six?
Six goals allowed?
Six goals, the old six pack.
Including a shorty.
A shorty.
Yeah,
they got a shorty. They gave a shorty back up.
Yeah.
There were some questionable ones. It just felt like, and Florida's a really good team, obviously. They just raised the banner. But one team was there to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and the other team was there to score a million goals and like win the hockey game. Like, the Bruins wanted to like fight and kind of like push guys around, be physical, and the Panthers were like, no, we're going to just score a bunch of goals on you guys and make you look silly. And, you know, the Bruins, they kept fighting, I guess, if you want to call it that, to the end. I mean, they were down, what, 6-2 at one point?
Yep, they made it 6-4 late. Frederick scored. Pastrnak got just a garbage deflected goal that popped in past Bobrovsky.
But can't both things be true? Like, the defense was bad and Korpisalo.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, like,
look,
like, the defense sucked.
Trust
me, that's fine.
Trust me. I'm Team Corpy, and, like, my point is, my only stance is he'll have better numbers than Allmark this year, not better than Swayman, or
tough
he should
start.
Play over Swayman. We are starting behind the eight ball, to put it mildly. So I'm not going to be this guy who, like, rips Tuukka for years, rips Allmark for years, and now I rip the defense in front of him.
Which goal was it? I lost track. Was it the fourth goal where he's just standing there? He's like, I gotcha.
I mean,
and they're, like, out in front. Nobody's in front of him. Nobody's there.
I think that happened on a couple of goals,
just
Keith.
Like zoomed by his shoulders. Like, huh?
On the fourth goal. I think it happened on the sixth goal. Maybe the sixth goal got deflected a little bit.
Yeah.
So, like, look, I don't know why they didn't get Swayman in there last night. Like, it was so bad. You're like,
they
should we get Jeremy
Swayman
in there?
Just sitting there.
But no,
you know, he was kicking himself.
Korpisalo was terrible. Definitely. No argument here.
Yeah.
I thought he would be better. That's disappointing. Goalie Bob, what are you doing?
Come on, Goalie Bob.
But the bigger fear, because he is the backup. He's the complement to Swayman. We said yesterday the idea is Swayman's going to get 55 games.
Yes.
So the fear coming out of that game.
It's too many for Corpy.
Well, it will be Brandon Bussey.
It could be Brandon Bussey. That's
it.
True.
Could be the bus.
But when it comes to Swayman, the fear is they were supposed to be better in front of their goaltending, and that was a debacle last night. Like, the fact you're giving up shorthanded chances, Korpisalo should stop them 100%. But the play in front of Korpisalo was brutal, and if the play looks that way in front of Swayman this year, well, then, Lori got lit up last night. Is Zadorov as good as you thought? Is McAvoy truly a Norris candidate? What the hell's going on with Hampus Lindholm? Like, that to me can also be put under a microscope. That's the more alarming thing. I'm not going to overreact to that in one game.
Right.
Let's see how he looks with Swayman, probably tomorrow night against Montreal. But that would be the fear, is that the defense isn't good in front of the goaltender.
Yeah, no, it was a rough start for sure. If Swayman hadn't signed his deal yet, How much money do you think he could get?
Oh, it would be panic in the streets, number one, Keith. And number two, how much could he get? 10?
I mean, if they...
10?
$1.2 trillion.
I mean, he might not be wrong. $10 million a year.
What did you tweet?
15.
Yeah,
so that was sort of obviously just like a high joke.
That sounds high, but 10? Because here are the other events of the last... We'll go here.
Yeah, let's go
the
there.
The other events of the last couple hours, last 24 hours, are that today, Linus Ullmark got $4.825 million.
Big lean, same contract.
From Ottawa.
Half the years, but same exact dollar amount.
And Shesterkin turned down 11 per?
8 for 88. He said, nah.
Okay, now, Shesterkin
has... He's good. I mean, he's great.
Shesterkin won a Vezina? He did,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, he did.
And we know Ullmark's won a Vezina.
Yeah.
And so you can argue those guys are in a different class, but, like, let's start with the Ullmark. If Ullmark's getting, even over 4 years,
though,
he's getting 8.24. Well, you can argue they just because they won a Vezina.
Oh, the Vezina, yeah.
But I think any Bruins fan would tell you, Swayman's greater than Ullmark.
And the Swayman deal all of a sudden looks pretty good, team.
Well, look,
team-wise.
My stance in the immediate aftermath was Swayman won the negotiation. And I think he did. I think he broke the team more than the other way around, but I also think he left money on the table. I think he won anything north of 8, I think he won the negotiation. But if he just held out a little longer, he could have got more. I think that's now clear.
I think if Cam Neely is slamming the table at 64 and then no real event happens after that and they give him 66, if they watch Korpisalo for a game or, dare I say, a week, he's getting like $90 million. Like, he probably would have been like, they would have been like, we are now desperate to have you back.
Yeah. So if you're, I mean,
Swayman's got to be like, oh man.
Well, do you
I
think,
was so patient.
Well, hang on. But what do you think actually happened? Do you think Swayman caved or do you think his agent caved? Like, I wonder.
Swayman.
So that's what
I don't think his agent did.
I bet his agent's pissed at him right now.
Yes.
I bet his agent's
yes,
like,
yes.
If you waited one more game, Lou Gross, I bet if he's like, you waited one more day. Like, because think of all the news that's happened since then.
Oh, I know. These contracts are huge. Contracts are even more so than one game.
Your guy, Corpy, got just bombarded last night, Keith.
Shredded.
Honestly, embarrassing take.
Just destroyed.
Being pro Corpusello. So he got bombarded. Shesterkin turns down $11 million per, and Ullmark gets the exact same AAV. I bet Gross is so pissed at Swayman, it's not even funny. But I think Neely's comments... The fan base turned on Swayman. There was the sign up in Quebec City, $64 million or go home. I think Swayman didn't have the stomach for it. I wish he did. He claimed he did.
He didn't even miss a game.
I bet his agent is pissed at him right now.
Oh yeah, like he dragged it out for a while, and I know he didn't start last night, but he was on the bench, so he didn't even miss an actual game. And I think that was the Bruins sort of had that in their back pocket too. Like, all right, let's see what happens with the player. Like, we're not going to give him $10 million. We're not going to give him $9.5 million. Let's see how this goes. And then Neely, I think, kind of escalated things a little bit with that press conference. But, you know, Don Sweeney, a couple days prior to that, was the one that mentioned December 1st. And so it is a risk because even though I didn't think it would happen, if Corpusalo and Bussy start the season 5-0,
yeah,
and
they shut
like,
down Florida and then Montreal tomorrow and whoever else, the Kings or whoever this weekend.
Maybe the price goes down.
Right.
Maybe there's like, all right, we're actually kind of good. And then he panics even more. So it was a risk. I mean, you kind of had to maybe realize Corpusalo was the worst goalie in the league last year and kind of bet on yourself a little bit. But no, he wanted to be there for his team and he got a good deal. What?
I don't get texts like this. 37937. Swayman's not any better than Ullmark. He's just younger. Neither goalie can win it without the other. Swayman. So
did you watch Swayman in the playoffs last year,
thank
sir
you.
Or ma'am?
Ullmark had three chances in the postseason here, and he failed every single one. Now, he was the starter of the first two. His first year in Boston, his Vezina year in Boston, and then last year. He still got a chance last year. He wasn't the starter. He got game two and sucked. They are not the same goalie. They're not. Swayman greater than Ullmark. If you're still fighting that, that's moronic.
Yeah, no,
I think. And by the way, the contracts do prove that. Swayman got 8 years. He got double the total money. It's the same AAV. So that to me is just ridiculous.
That's out of nowhere too. Like I think most people when they traded Ullmark were happy and fine with it. And then you could argue how much you want to pay Swayman.
And
that's a separate argument.
If you hate how Swayman's carrying himself, fine. Swayman's a giant soft baby.
A little bit.
Ullmark's even worse. I hate how Ullmark carries himself even more than Swayman. So, like, I think Ullmark was a bigger problem.
He rejected two trades.
In that regard. Yeah, look, Swayman got one chance as the starter
in
the postseason.
It's all about having the mind of a goldfish.
Yo, I couldn't stand him.
Mind of a goldfish.
Like, I don't like how Swayman's carrying himself, but I could not stand him.
All right.
So, look, Swayman got one chance in the postseason and went around. Ullmark got three chances and never did it. So that's how I look at that. But anyway, I think Swayman didn't have the stomach for it. His agent's probably pissed at him. How about the retribution? And you guys can jump in on all of this. 617-779-7937. Here's your chance to talk Bruins. We've been mostly Patriots all day with the announcement of Drake May. We're going to get back to Drake May. So you want to talk Bruins, do it now. Again, 617-779-7937. What do you think about them getting their retribution against Bennett? They attempted to. They attempted really more to get it against Tkachuk. Frederick said Tkachuk asked him to drop the gloves, and Tkachuk didn't. The Bruins tried to take it to him a little bit. Tkachuk wanted nothing to do with it. Bennett wanted nothing to do with it. They wanted to go out there and play hockey. The Bruins wanted their retribution. Did they do enough? Should they have taken it to him more? They did take it to that one official last night.
I was going to say,
hacking him on the wrist.
Yeah,
smoked. My guy Jones.
Yeah.
But what'd you think of that aspect? Did they get enough retribution, enough of a pound of flesh when they got their brains beaten in?
Probably never enough. When the scoreboard's lopsided, it's just so much worse. Like Florida won the game. Tkachuk didn't get like goaded into any fights or anything. Like you didn't embarrass him or didn't do any of that. Like I think the Bruins do have some tough guys. I love Trent Frederick. Like he's one of my favorite players. And so I believe him with what he was saying. If he said, hey, you want to drop the gloves, and then he does, and then he doesn't, like that's not great gamesmanship, or that's not a hockey code.
I think that's kind of it's a little disrespectful to the game.
Yeah, disrespectful to the game. So these two teams play each other real quick. Back in Boston on Monday, I think that could be like a gong show. I think that could be just them being like, we're going after it even earlier. I don't think they're done with them. I think it is a great rivalry. I know the game was for the Bruins, got away from them, but it's probably the best Bruins rival right now. In don't you think? Like, it's not the Canadians.
No, it's not the Leafs.
They're very easy to
hate. Tampa.
They're very, you're 100%, they're so easy to hate, and you were reminded so quickly of it, too.
Well, Bennett.
Sam Bennett, I can't stand Sam Bennett.
Bennett ran over Corpusello last night.
Oh, yeah.
And the Bruins did nothing. Bruins did nothing.
Well, they get a little face wash in
okay, well, like,
that.
But you know what?
Well,
like
Carlo was like, hey, ref, did you see him run over Korpisalo?
At a certain point, you got to say, all right, the penalties, the game's over. We're getting smoked. The penalty's worth it. We're getting our pound of flesh.
Yeah.
So, but who's the guy on Boston to do it? Like, I would.
Frederick and Zadorov.
It probably is Frederick.
Frederick Kastelic. He threw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he threw down early.
Yeah, well, threw down. He got
ragdolled by AJ Greer.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why he got the crap kicked
out of him.
Yeah, no, he tried.
So, I don't know. Like, I don't really know if the Bruins have it. Is that Zadorov's game? I know he's tall and big.
It's a big
but, like,
hoss.
Right, but is that his game?
I don't know.
I didn't see it.
I don't know.
So,
they've had some big guys that.
The fear is the Bruins are bigger and tougher, but I didn't see it last night, so where was that? The fear is that the defense was trash in front of Korpisalo.
Florida's a tough matchup because they are skilled and tough.
That's true.
Like, that's a tough combo
The fear is, by the way, my guy Korpi stinks, and let's see how Swayman looks. If it doesn't look any better with Swayman, who didn't have an offseason, he can skate all he wants at BU. He didn't have a proper offseason.
Yeah.
Is there any rust with Swayman? How does it look if the defense is shaky? That's the fear one game in. So we'll get to all your Bruins thoughts on it. 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Lauren has been waiting patiently up in Maine on Drake May. Go ahead, Lauren.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Love the show.
Thanks.
So I was listening this morning to the Greg Hill show, and Courtney made a really good point that I actually kind of agreed with.
Okay.
So what she said was about Drake May this weekend. He starts, he doesn't play good. They're playing Houston. It's kind of a built-in excuse for him a little bit. If he doesn't play good, then I'd give it another week to judge him. If he still sucks when he plays the following week, then we can start to worry a little bit. But I want to kind of give him this weekend to see how he does. But again, remember, he's playing against one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Look, I get that logic.
That's true.
Like, Eric Shun.
It's a built-in excuse for Drake. Oh, he went out and failed against Houston? Yeah, so did Josh Allen the week prior. So
Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I get that. It's just, I just want to be allowed to come in on Monday and say he didn't play well. That's all. But no one's going to say bench
but
him.
But you won't.
No one's going to say
go.
Okay, that's fine. No one's going to say go to Joe Milton. At least we won't. No one's going to say go back to Jacoby Brissett. If that's her fear, I'm not going to say that. And it does give him a game under his belt with a built-in excuse to then go into a standalone island international game against a very beatable Jaguars team.
Much like sort of the opposite is true last week. Just follow me here on this journey. The Dolphins were such a bad team, and the Patriots were actually favored to win the game. So if Jacoby Brissett plays bad against them, which he did, that just speeds everything up. Right? Like, you're like, oh my God, not only did you look bad, but you look bad in a very winnable game. Whereas this one, you look at the Texans as one of the best teams in the league. So if Drake May doesn't turn it over three times and doesn't just like fall apart, you're going to look at it like, hey, not bad. Probably better than Brissett.
Yeah.
And then kind of go from there. So I'm with the caller.
Ian Brockton, Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEI. He says you're only giving him a week. No, I'm just going to come in on Monday and say he didn't play well. If he didn't play well, we're just going to say he didn't play well.
I think the caller was saying that.
I see. Got
like,
it.
I'll give like, she's like, I won't really, assess him until after the Jacksonville game. He's playing all season unless he gets hurt.
That's what I think.
Play all year.
Like, I am not going to be calling to bench him. I'm not going to say they're going to ruin him. I don't think you can ruin him. So I'm not going to be calling to bench him and play Milton or Brissett or anyone like that.
No, I don't want to see it.
But if he's not playing well, we're going to come in and say he's not playing well. I hope he plays well. Yep. I think he is going to play well. Maybe not this weekend. I don't think it's the ideal spot. But whatever. I think talent wins out. And I think he was the second most talented quarterback in the class. I thought he was more talented coming out than Jaden Daniels. I don't think he had the talent of Caleb Williams, but I did't want to deal with Caleb Williams and all his nonsense. I'm with your wife who got one look at him and said, that guy's not going to make it.
2 minutes of Hard Knocks. She's like, nope.
So there are things I didn't like about Caleb Williams, but on talent, I think Drake May was the second most talented in the class.
I am excited.
I think talent's going to win out.
We're going to get Drake May, Caleb Williams week 10.
Yeah.
Thank God.
That'll be a good one.
At Chicago. But three, four games before that.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is we're not going to ignore if he plays poorly. That's all. But I'm not going to be calling to bench him. He needs to play the rest of the year. Now that you've gone to him, he needs to play the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Barring injury, as you said.
And I am curious how Alex Van Pelt ends up calling these games because he kind of had a departure just with Brissett. He went from very kind of run heavy to.
Well, what do you want to see?
I want to see him in the early going. Well, it all kind of depends.
No, if they're down three touchdowns, you have to
throw. But
when, in a neutral game script, what do you want to see?
I still think you, right now in the early going, I would probably be pretty close to a 50-50 offense.
Handoff. Yeah.
I think so.
I'm sorry. You're saying 50-50. I would say
50-50.
I'm still skewed to the run.
But I mean, if it ends up being 30 runs, 30 passes, like a true 50-50, it kind of feels even more weighted to the run just the way the league is and, like, most teams throw so much more.
Yeah, look, I'm normally let that kid go back and let it rip.
Yeah.
This game.
20 pass attempts?
I mean, look, 25? Again, I mean, it depends on how the game plays out. But, like, the ideal situation is you're running more than you're passing this week. And you see what he can do, and you add more to his plate as you go, and you see what he can handle in the meantime.
Do you do designed runs for him?
Yes.
Or do you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, like, especially in, like, the red zone.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, like, a third.
Anytime touchdown?
Third and short. Like, that's where I'm going to see it. That's where I want to see it. Yes, I would. That's part of his skill set. Yes. We saw it in the preseason. We saw that in the preseason.
Yeah, but some of that was just play broke down in front of him and he kind of scooted.
Yeah, but like, I thought.
Some of his yards.
I think there were design runs
in
the preseason. I think there were.
But, yeah, no, I am. I'm just obviously looking forward to that aspect of it. But I just think Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson. With the exception of the Stevenson's fumbles, which I know you can't just like skip past that part. That is significant. You need to hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
But their actual runs, those two guys, have both been pretty good against everybody.
Yeah, and you'd be so – I think Gibson – I was looking at the snaps this morning. Gibson might have played more – believe it or not, might have played more snaps than Stevenson.
Well, that was the big punishment then.
You know, so, I mean, it was about 50-50. It was close. One guy, it was like 29-28, something like that. I think he might have got one more snap. Now, he wasn't as involved when he was out there. Stevenson touched the football basically every time he was out there.
They both had 28 of the 60 snaps.
So, my mistake. So, 50-50.
Yeah.
I'd probably get away from that. But if Stevenson isn't fumbling, then he can stay out there.
Yeah. Well, he didn't fumble last game. That was a big win.
No, it's
one game. Days without a fumble.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
At the warehouse.
Exactly. We got a check mark there.
Nice.
3-7, 93-7, going back to the goalie negotiations.
Yeah.
Do you agree with this, Keith? Neely played Swayman like a fiddle.
I don't know. He got more money than what are you stamping his feet about.
So that's what I think.
He's like, I got 64 million reasons. He's like, I think, give me 66 and I'll sign.
I think Swayman won the negotiation, lowercase w. You know, like, I think he won the negotiation. Anything north of 8, I felt like he was going to win.
I don't think.
But I don't think he won it, W-O-N, all caps, exclamation point. Like, he didn't win as much as he could have. And if he had the stomach to do it, he could have had 9-10 million by waiting it out, letting Corpy play, waiting for Allmark to sign his deal, waiting for Shesterkin to turn down whatever deals that are out there. And it's not a coincidence Swayman signs and then Ottawa goes to action, news leaks out in New York. That's not a coincidence, I don't think.
Yeah, I just don't think
the market Swayman blinked.
Yeah.
His agent probably didn't want him to blink. Swayman blinked, and then the market started to move around that. They were waiting for the market to move,
true,
and then for the Bruins to react, and they blinked too quickly.
Even if this looks like a pretty team-friendly deal down the road, I don't think Neely is happy about $8.25 million.
No. I think Swayman's happier than the team is.
Yeah.
I think the agent said we could have got 9 or 10 if we just waited.
I think that's – don't you feel like they – and I know Pastrnak and McAvoy make more money, but Sweeney and Neely feel like they overpaid –
all
Swayman.
Three. I think they feel like they overpaid all three.
I think definitely Swayman, maybe McAvoy. I don't know if they feel like they overpaid Pastrnak.
Who's the most overpaid out of those three? Swayman, Pastrnak, McAvoy.
I think based on like history in the league, it would be Swayman.
So I think it's McAvoy.
I know you're down on McAvoy.
Yeah, I am.
I have higher hopes for him. I don't think he's like a top five guy in the league. I think he should be.
That's what he's paid as.
Yeah. I think he's like tied for fifth or sixth.
And he's finished, by the way, top five Norris in the past, but he didn't last year, and last night was a disaster. I know he scored. But last night was a disaster.
Defense wasn't great.
It was
not great in front of your guy, Corpy.
617-779-7937. Let's get back to the Patriots. We can mix in all your Bruins phone calls if you want to jump in there. Drake May did speak at the podium. We can get to some of that. More also on whose call it was to go to Drake May. Was it Jerod Mayo's? Did it come from above Jerod Mayo? That's next. I will say, listening to Drake May,
yeah,
he's a child.
So this is what,
like, not in a bad way. Like, I'm not saying he's immature. I'm just he is a child.
So this is something that I think you and I specifically have to really wrap our heads around is how old we are now.
How old are you? You're 40.
We're both 40.
I'm 40. Billy's 40 plus.
Nick, you don't count. Young guns.
Yeah, Nick, you don't count.
No,
but like even you two are older.
But even
than
he's 21. He sounds young.
I mean, we're twice his age. That's a child that's going out there this week.
It's
weekend.
A kid. That's a kid. And we're going to be screaming like crazy for this kid to go out there.
We already were earlier today.
It's like child endangerment laws should be in effect with this O-line. But, no, it is. It's different because like, we started, not to do a whole Jones and Keefe thing, but, like, when you're on the air and you're the same age or younger than a lot of the athletes, it's one thing. And then as you go up and now, like, most of the coaches are younger than us, and so it's a flip. And I think a lot of people our age kind of are experiencing that as well. Like you used to.
No, every time we interview Godchow, Henry.
Yeah, you have some reference. They're like, what?
In my head, I'm like, we're the same age.
No.
And I'm like, no. Oh, no, I'm like, I'm literally 10 years older than these guys. Gonzo were like twice his age.
Correct.
And so, yeah, who was the first athlete, not necessarily in the media, who was the first athlete where you're like, holy crap?
So the one that changed for me was that I am like the exact, or we are the exact same age as Carmelo Anthony
and
like
LeBron.
A couple months, like LeBron.
LeBron,
so LeBron and Carmelo are like our age, and you're like, oh.
I was in a college dorm watching LeBron make his NBA debut, and I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, we're just in different life places.
Dude, I was,
watching Connor McDavid for me. I'm like a week older than Connor McDavid, and he's the best player in the world, making $100 million.
Mother of God. That's what, but it also, we were kind of protected. Anybody born in like the early 80s were protected because Tom Brady kept playing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh, the guy I watched in high school, he still plays.
That's
it's like,
a good
you're a grown ass man. You're 40 years old. You have kids. You have a mortgage. Knock it off. Like, that's what it, like, for, but you can live that life. You're like, Bill Belichick is the coach and Tom Brady's the quarterback.
Wait, now we're like, how old is Mayo? Can somebody look? How old is Mayo?
Younger than us.
I was going to say, are we older than Mayo?
34. Wait, 33 or 34.
I mean, it's not even close.
No, he's 38.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
is he?
So it's close, but
he's younger.
We're older than the coach.
Yes. Like, Brad Stevens, no, Mazzulla. Stevens is older than us, but Mazzulla's younger than us.
Yep.
Cora's a little bit older than us.
Monty.
Monty's older than us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, it's close.
But he's only here for another year anyway. They're about to fire him, I'm sure. Don't have a contract for next year, so, like, yeah.
It also blew my mind when, like, meeting guys like Ty Law or even, like, Wiggy.
Yeah.
So, like, watching them in, like, middle school and high school, but then realizing that the age gap's not that
it's
severe.
It's not as big as you would think.
So, you're like, wait a minute. Like, you should be a lot older than me. It's like, they're not.
Yeah, so, I mean.
You're all the same.
Drake May is a literal child out there.
He's Kobe.
He's a kid.
But.
He's a little kid.
It's the right move, and he can handle it. I mean,
drink beer, though. Okay. He can drink beers legally.
It comes through to me at the podium more than it will on the field. Like, on the field, he looks like a man out there. Because he has the size, the athleticism, like he does.
That's what counts.
But you hear him at the podium, and you're like,
"I'm a man. I'm 40."
Yeah, I mean,
this can change quickly because you remember a few years ago when Justin Herbert came into the league, and that was the big talk about Herbert. Like at the draft combine, draft night, his first year in San Diego was this guy looks like a baby, looks like an absolute child, and that kind of wore off after a couple of years. Like he's still really young, but he doesn't have like the oh my God, he's like on his way to preschool kind of look.
It's true. Drake May's first day of preschool on Sunday against the Houston Texans. Ish is in Trenton. Is this Ish Smith?
Could
go ahead,
Smith?
Ish. Hello.
Hey, Ish.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, yo, I'm not going to, like, what you guys are talking about isn't what I was calling for, but to expound on what you guys were saying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie. He does have, like, the baby face. But, like, yo, I'm not going to lie, bro. The dude exudes confidence, bro. Like from what I just heard from on that press conference, bro, I didn't see a child, bro. I seen, like, because what he said, right, you got to peep what he said. He said, like, the best thing I learned from Jacoby Brissett was watching him in practice. Not watching him
in
the game.
Not
but
in the games.
Him
in
no,
practice.
No, no. Good
practice.
Point.
Good
that
point.
Is a good the point. Most I got was from watching him on the practice field.
To quote the great Dr. Seuss, who am I? My name is Ish. On my hand, I have a dish. I have this dish to help me wish. When I wish to make a wish, I have my hand with a big swish swish. Then I say, I wish for fish, and I get fish right on my dish. So if you wish to make a wish, you may swish for a fish with a lish wish dish.
Bro.
Ish.
So there you go. Ish Smith, how many teams do you think Ish Smith suited up for?
Seven, eight?
No.
10?
That's,
you think like half the league?
That's more like it. Not to.
Where do you remember your Ish Smith?
Random basketball player of the day.
Great Piston.
Sixer, right?
Where do I remember Ish Smith? Yeah, good question.
I feel like Sixer.
Maybe.
Wizard, maybe?
Wizard.
Nugget?
Oh, Keith, so many teams.
How many?
Ready?
How many teams for Ish Smith?
Rockets?
You have to scroll down.
Rockets, Grizzlies, Warriors, Magic, Bucks, Suns, Thunder, Sixers,
yep,
Pelicans, Sixers again,
yep.
Pistons, Wizards, Hornets, Wizards, Nuggets,
I lost
Hornets.
Track. I think that's like 15 teams.
It's 13.
It's 13 teams he played for?
Yep, 13.
That's incredible.
Wow.
And now he's calling our show.
Now he's a fan of the
Two
Jones
of them
program.
He played more than 100 games for.
Wow.
So I remember him mostly as
that's a professional point. That's a professional point guard is what that guy is.
Pro point guard.
Can't necessarily keep a job.
Like an Anthony Carter.
He's an Anthony Carter type. That's
or an
exactly
Anthony Johnson.
Yeah, maybe.
Both were solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's more of an Anthony Carter.
You think more Anthony Carter?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but it bounced around a little bit.
Ish Smith, he could score.
But they go, we need a point guard who's a professional point guard, Ish Smith.
Is he a Wake Forest guy?
Yes. Fun fact.
Yeah?
Fun time.
You covered him?
at BC.
Yeah.
Wake Forest came in as the number three team, I want to say,
Demon
in the country.
Deacons.
It was Jeff Teague.
Oh, yeah.
Al Farouk Aminu.
Yes.
Ish Smith.
And one other guy, didn't they?
Somebody else was pretty good on that. Oh,
Josh Howard?
No, James.
No, that was after.
Johnson, the MMA.
Oh, James Johnson.
Was that his name?
He's in MMA now?
Well, he was like in the NBA. No, he was like a pseudo like MMA fighter on the side.
They had all those first round picks, then they lose in the first round of the tournament.
They came in and were like, hung 100 on BC. And I'm like, this team's incredible. None of those.
James Johnson?
None of them turned out to be that good. Is that what I said? Yeah. James Johnson. What did I say?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all first round picks and they lost like the first round.
Ish Smith, probably the best NBA player.
Jeff
Teague. Maybe it's Teague.
Probably Teague.
Teague was
John Collins went to Wake Forest.
Teague was an all star.
John Collins?
That was later. Well, Tim Duncan went there.
Tim Duncan,
Randolph Childress.
Randolph Childress had an ACC tournament.
Randolph
for the
Childress
ages.
Was nice.
Childress destroyed everybody in that tournament.
I liked Randolph Childress
a
lot.
He's really nice.
Yeah, nice player.
Marcus Camby put Tim Duncan in his place, though.
That's true.
UMass Wake Forest?
Yeah.
Marcus Camby greater than Tim Duncan.
What, college?
In college. Let's leave it there.
617-779-7937. We'll get back into the decision to go with Drake May. A lot of people, I'm afraid we're going to break him. Well, it's not time to put him out there. Let's get to it next.